Welcome to Conversations on Public Health, a regular program from the Harvard School of Public Health that explores current issues in the field. Today we're speaking with Nancy Krieger, Professor of Society, Human Development, and Health. Krieger is the lead author on a new study that looks at trends in health disparities in the U.S. from 1960 to 2002. Her study demonstrates that the recent trend of growing U.S. disparities in health status is not inevitable. Your study set out to find what happens to disparities in health when the overall health of the U.S. population improves. What do you mean by health disparities, and tell us what your study set out to do?
What we mean by health disparities, or maybe more accurately, health inequities, are differences in health status between different groups in our society that are unfair and unjust. In particular here, this study was looking at socioeconomic inequities in health, meaning, in this case, what were differences among people with less compared to more income in terms of premature mortality rates and also infant death. What our study was trying to do was take a long-term perspective on this question of what happens as population health improves to health inequities widen or lessen. This has become an important policy question because some people are starting to argue that it makes sense as health in the population improves overall. It would seemingly always improve faster for people who are better off because they're more educated and better able to take advantage of the different health-promoting resources that are in a society, whether about knowing how to eat better or how to get better medical care. What we wanted to do was look and see, is this really always the case, or might we actually see different patterns if we look at a long time frame in the U.S.? And so we set out in this study to look at what were the patterns of socioeconomic differentials in premature mortality and infant death between 1960 and 2002. And a very important part of our study was that we looked at data before 1968, which is when most of the public access data begin.
And what did you find?
What we found was actually what we thought we might see, which was that in the U.S., during the period 1960 to 2002, overall, the rates of premature mortality and infant death decreased, that everyone knows. They decreased in all income quintiles, both for the total population and also for whites and also people of color. By income quintiles, I mean five equally divided groups based on income from low income to high income. And we were looking at this in terms of county mortality rates and county income levels. The important finding was that between 1965 and 1980, the magnitude or the size of the health inequities, the disparities comparing worse-off counties in terms of income to the better-off counties, shrunk. They shrunk in absolute terms and they shrunk in relative terms. However, and also they shrunk most for populations of color in the two worst off county income quintiles, the two poorest county income quintiles. However, starting in 1980, what we began to see is that these disparities in premature mortality and infant death began to widen. So the overall pattern is one of shrinking inequities between 1965 and 1980, and then growing inequities after 1980.
What are some possible reasons for this shrinking, then expanding inequities trend that you found?
In our study, we were able to document what the trends are, so it becomes thoughtful speculation as to why these different patterns exist. We were not specifically testing hypotheses as to why the patterns existed. But what we can guess and what we think is worthy of future research are the following kinds of ideas. First, the important thing to note is that, again, premature mortality rates and infant mortality rates were declining for everyone. The country was overall becoming increasingly prosperous. But what happened in that period 1965 to 1980, we believe, is that we see the impact that was very positive on the health of people who were poor and people of color in terms of what all the kinds of programs were that went under the general idea of the War on Poverty, the Great Society programs. We had the passage in 1964 of the Civil Rights Act, in 1965 of the Voting Rights Act. We had the enactment of Medicaid and Medicare in 1965. We had the expansion of community health centers, maternal and child health programs. And we actually had a sharp reduction in poverty rates, not only of the elderly, but also among people of color in the United States during this period. And the important thing is that we saw declines in the magnitude of the health inequities, not only in premature mortality, but in infant death, which suggests that things were happening affecting very young people at about the time of these changes. And this is very important. So starting in 1980, what we see is what could be called a repeal of the welfare state, or attempts to repeal it at the very least, because it's also important to remember that in addition to the anti-poverty programs and the civil rights programs, we also had, for example, in 1970, the establishment of the Environmental Protection Agency, also the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. And starting in 1980, with the idea of moving towards more of a deregulated government, decentralized, defederalized, that we would have less regulation of industry, less regulation of environmental pollution, fewer anti-poverty programs, a backlash against affirmative action, and cuts to public health funding that together collectively could have translated into growing health inequities, or at least many fewer resources to try to address them, and therefore the health inequities rise.
What are the public health implications of this study?
So the public health implications are both sobering and also hopeful. The sobering implications are that since 1980, these inequities have been widening, and that clearly we need to have policy attention and public pressure brought to bear to work on what the societal determinants of health are. We know that the evidence is in, that health inequities reflect the embodiment of social inequality. We know that people who are subjected to economic deprivation, to discrimination, to noxious jobs, and to environmental hazards have worse health. This is not a mystery. And the exciting thing and the important thing about our study is that we're able to show that we do not necessarily have to have widening inequities as overall population health continues to improve, because we show very clearly between 1965 and 1980, the magnitude of the socioeconomic inequities declined, and the decline was greatest for populations of color living in the lowest income quintiles. So that's the hopeful news, that when it becomes a social and political priority to reduce these inequities that are social inequities in basis, we can reduce the health consequences and therefore the health inequities.
This has been a Harvard School of Public Health production. Please visit us on the web at www.hsph.harvard.edu.